Hi, Amanda. This is Jane Hampshire from FireDogLake.com. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing well over here in the town hall offices this morning.
Oh, you're actually in the town hall offices. They provide space for you.
Yeah, we do. We're over in Roslyn, kind of overlooking Georgetown a little bit. I have a good view, but you can't see it in the little
You Republicans
here, so.
are better equipped than we are.
I don't know. You haven't seen our last offices. We just moved here. I used to work out of a closet, literally. We put interns in a place called, we called the Clothis, which is very funny. So
you guys get, like, opposition research and all kinds of stuff that we don't get.
Opposition research?
Talking points and all kinds of things that we sort of defend for ourselves out of bed.
Oh, I don't know. There hasn't been any talking points or opposition research coming to my inbox lately, so I don't know. I'll try to find some for you.
Well, so what are you thinking about the Obama-Clinton race these days?
Are we still talking about Clinton, or are we just counting until when she'll drop out?
I think there are rumblings this morning that people in her campaign are saying she's going to drop out. It's the mom's on the roof joke.
Mom's on the roof.
You know the joke about how...
No, I don't. You should tell me.
The joke about how someone says, you know, the cat died, and they say, no, you shouldn't tell me the cat died. You should prepare me by saying the cat wasn't feeling well, and, you know, the cat has been poking and sluggish, and the next day you come back and say, we had to take the cat to the hospital, and then the final day it's like, well, you know, the cat's on the roof. And then you tell me the cat died. Like, okay, how's mom? Mom's on the roof.
Aww.
So I think we're in the Clinton's on the roof moment.
I think
it's a signal that it's about over.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the media has just been kind of condescending, like, why are you staying in this? But, you know, her arguments aren't terrible. She's winning the swing states. And I'm just kind of thinking about her as Democratic insurance policy at this point. I mean, in the event that Obama has more friends like Reverend Wright come out of the woodwork, makes a major gaffe, they can ditch him at the last minute, and they still have a candidate ready to go.
I think that's kind of what they're thinking, the Clinton campaign is thinking anyway, that, you know, they're kind of playing for time in case Obama has a fatal meltdown.
Yeah, and also playing for money. I think you wrote about this on your blog. I mean, this is what I expect her to do. I expect her to stay in this until at least July or something and take all the credit for the Democratic registration numbers and the money that's been raised by the DNC and even Obama, and use that as leverage to make him pay off her debts.
I guess so, but the problem is that between now and then, the debts continue to mount. I don't think she's going to be taking in more money than she's spending, so
that's true.
I'm not sure that that's the absolute best
More
idea.
Reason to make Obama pay it.
Well, she may make Obama pay it, but I think the smoke signals are coming up now that she's ready to make that deal.
Yeah, so when do you think she'll drop out? I think it might happen after, like, a July 4th family time to discuss things.
I actually think that it's probably going to happen sooner than that. I think they're probably negotiating right now, and it's a matter of what she wants. You know, some people are out there saying that she wants the vice presidential nod. Some people are saying she wants campaign debts paid off.
Yeah.
I think Robert Reich, who is, you know, an Obama supporter but was in the Clinton administration, is saying that she wants a Supreme Court nomination. So
yeah, I heard that. I mean, wow. I mean, I don't know. That'd be interesting confirmation hearing. But what do you think about James Carville doing these interviews where it's not likely and you just kind of sounding downtrodden? I mean, that doesn't seem like he's being a good Clinton soldier.
I think that they're setting expectations. The Clinton campaign has done a really good job this whole time of setting expectations. I think the Obama campaign hasn't done quite as good a job, so that when she comes out behind or you know, she comes out with a victory, people are able to spin it really well. And in the same thing, I think that James Carville is kind of, you know, the harbinger of what is to come, which makes me think that it's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, that John Edwards superdelegate endorsement the night when she was on her media blitz after the West Virginia win, man.
That was pretty brutal. There have been rumblings for a while that John Edwards and Elizabeth Edwards had different opinions on who to support, and I don't think that that's different from many couples. But I guess he figured that the time is now. So
yeah, I mean, I think it was very well timed. I just, you know, him making that announcement at 6:30, right when she was storming the evening news networks, I was just, wow.
So who do you think should be the vice presidential nominee for the Democrats, Amanda?
For the Democrats? You know, that is so tough. You know, I would love it if Obama picked somebody that was terrible to help the Republicans out, because we need all the help we can get right now, to be honest with you. But, you know, I don't know how likely this is, but there was kind of that speculation about Bloomberg, and they're having these secret breakfasts with Obama, and I just think that would be really interesting. So maybe that's kind of just someone I would just for the sheer of watching the race go on and seeing how that would work out, mm-hmm. I'd like. But I don't, who else is there?
I think that may be a good one. If you're hoping not for ill will, wishing ill will on the Democrats, I think Bloomberg is probably a good choice.
Yeah, if I was going to be nice, yeah, sure.
Well, I think they're probably, you know, one of the things that's going to happen with Obama is that you're going to be looking at a different electoral map.
Oh, totally.
Than the Democrats have you know, counted on in the Kerry race, or even that they would count on in the Clinton race, because there are just mm-hmm. some states that he's going to have real problems with. So having someone like Jim Webb in Virginia.
Yeah, but would they take a senator out? I mean, I see how that'd be a good pick, but he's doing, I mean, a good job for you guys in the Senate right now. I guess who would go in there, Mark Warner in his place?
I don't know who they would appoint, but it could feasibly be Webb, as opposed to like Chris Dodd, who is in a state where there's a Republican governor and they.
What about Obama Warner?
I don't know that Warner would do it. I'm not sure. There's talk about Kathleen Sebelius. I mean, one of the things that Obama's
she's interesting.
One of the challenges that Obama's going to have if he doesn't pick Clinton is how to bring all the women back to the fold.
Sure.
You know, they're.
You think the women left him?
Huh?
You think the women left Obama?
Well, I think it's just it's something that always happens whenever there's a hard-fought primary. Sure. It's not that mm-hmm. Obama's necessarily bad with women, but people feel if their candidate doesn't win, they want to feel that they have a place. They don't want to feel like losers. They want to be energized and enthused about supporting the candidate. So he's got to figure out a way to do that. And I think that either with Napolitano or with Kathleen Sebelius, that's a way to
Sebelius is interesting.
To bring that. You like Sebelius?
Oh, I mean, I don't like her. She seems reasonable. I mean, you know, she seems kind of in the mold of a more blue dog Democrat than, you know, one of these very left-wing ones that we're used to. So, you know, I think that'd be interesting. I don't want him to feel obligated to pick a woman. It's funny because people say, well, who would he pick if he doesn't pick Clinton? But how can he pick Clinton? You know, it's just there's so much baggage there. I think it would hurt him. And the prospects of Bill Clinton running around, not even as first gentleman, but as the vice president's husband, I think gives him a lot more leeway that could be really damaging to both of them.
I think it's, from my perspective, and heaven knows there nobody's asking me, that
I'm asking
that Clinton might not want it, because if she is at odds with Obama, that's going to leave her kind of cooling her heels for however long, assuming
that
she's
successful. Right, well, the New York Times... on there, I think the Catherine blogger woman, I don't actually know what her title is, she was suggesting that Obama adopt Hillary Clinton's health care plan and then make her in charge of universal health care in his administration.
That's a thought, but I think that if he took Clinton as a vice president, he would basically be doing it because it was forced on him and wouldn't be looking to her to handle one of the key the cornerstones of his administration. So it doesn't really seem likely to me.
Yeah. Well, one, not to keep this going on forever, but Roger Simon over at Politico speculated that she might run for New York governor in 2010.
That sounds more likely to me because, you know, she could really do something, you know, that would be, you know, she'd have a chance to really make a mark in a way that she wouldn't as vice president to a president who didn't particularly like her.
Yeah, New York's a powerful state. I mean, it'd be no small thing, and it seems like she could do it.
Yep.
So.
Well, what about the Republican side? Let's talk about who you see as the Republicans, because you guys got sort of a problem there with folks such as yourself who don't think that John McCain really represents your views.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you what, the conservatives want Mark Sanford.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. Everybody I talk to, Sanford, which probably means McCain is not going to do it. I'm hearing that McCain probably won't go through, like, a formal vetting process where we have these lists and we let the media do it, that he is going to go with his gut and just pick somebody.
You're not
going to
have a panel where Dick Cheney is in charge of picking himself?
No, I don't think so. And people are still talking about Pawlenty in Minnesota. I don't know. The latest news hit he got was talking about his sex life on Minnesota radio, so I don't think that helps the cause any. Who else is in the mix? Who would you like to see?
Well, what about Huckabee?
Oh, Huckabee, I mean, the social conservatives love him. You know, I do agree with him on social issues, but I think he's so much big government in the mold of the compassionate conservative means lots of big spending and we don't care about the programs that we're instating and all this kind of stuff. He's in the bad mold of George Bush, in that way. So I'd be really disappointed.
Why do you
quite
think
frankly.
That the campaign is going to bring evangelicals into the fold? Because as you say, as we were chatting earlier, Obama's got this Kentucky mailer going on, and it's clear that he's going to make a play for evangelicals, and he can talk about his personal, you know, conversion in a way that mm-hmm. John McCain is not going to do. Is that going to mm-hmm. speak to evangelicals?
Yeah, I don't know. Obama can make a very good play. You know, just reading his books, hearing him talk, he's very comfortable using religious language. The mailer that went out in Kentucky kind of shows him, you know, in the church with the crosses and the organ pipes behind him and all this stuff, which is, you know, to make the argument, you know, people freaked out when Huckabee did this, but it's fine that Obama's doing it. I think it's fine to use a mailer. I have concerns about separation of church and state for electioneering, but I don't see anything wrong with this mailer. But I will say, the evangelical voters will be surprised to hear how he uses things like Sermon on the Mount to justify homosexuality, to find about his, you know, very extreme stance on abortion. They'll be surprised, I think, because he's so comfortable talking in religious terms.
Well, you know, in terms of evangelicals, they, you know, the numbers for McCain in Indiana, a state where he was uncontested for the Republican nomination, basically, he only got 77%. And I think the numbers were even lower in North Carolina. Is that of concern to Republicans?
It is. I mean, I think Republicans are more concerned about the skyrocketing Democratic registration numbers and the money they're pulling in because, you know, people in Indiana don't really need to get out and vote for a candidate because they know McCain has it locked up. But, you know, he is having problems. And just to go back to the evangelical thing, McCain's campaign has not been run to the right wing at all. He has won all the primaries through the moderate and independent vote. I think we're going to see him tracking a lot more to the center. You can see this with his environmental stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else he's going to pull out to be mavericky, probably some more immigration stuff. But, you know, we'll see. He's got a lot of work to do in terms of getting people to get excited about him. Not sure how he's going to do it, but, you know, when he faces off against Obama and they start, you know, putting Obama's vision of the world versus McCain's vision of the world on things like foreign policy and taxation, that could excite some people.
Well, how do you think people are lining up about McCain changing his positions on so many things? I know that he's going to go talk to the NRA, and recently mm-hmm. and they're bringing up quotes from 2000 where he said that the NRA should not be playing a major role in Republican mm-hmm. policymaking. You know, how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, as I said before, I mean, McCain has never, from what I know, has tried to be the right wing, you know, completely conservative candidate. I don't see a lot changing. He's not going to make people at the NRA happy. He's not going to make people at the American Conservative Union happy. He's not going to make talk radio happy. And he's just going to keep doing this moderate to independent track and hope that he can sew up enough in the middle to get it. So we'll see what's going to happen. I noticed that he's purging his lobbyists from his campaign now.
He is. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have worked on the campaign, and I can see how there's, you know, people are in the mix, and he's purging the list. I see it more as a thing he's getting rid of anybody that's done any international lobbying for his campaign is going to be gone to free him up to make super hard arguments against Obama on these terms.
Well, how do you feel about people, you know, the lobbyists in running McCain's campaign? As someone who's into small government, I mean, these people mm-hmm. are basically there to make sure that more money flows from the taxpayer coffers mm-hmm. into corporate hands. I mean, what side do you think most conservatives are going to come down on that front?
I have a problem with saying that lobbyists are forbidden from entering a certain kind of work after they're done lobbying. It's complicated, and the reason I'm not really disturbed by the fact that he has people who have lobbied in the past working on his campaign is because I think he has a pretty good track record on not being influenced on this. I mean, John McCain is a guy who's saying that he wants to get rid of earmarks. Mm-hmm. He will not sign any kind of bill with earmarks, and to me, earmarks are the currency of corruption that lobbyists use. And if this guy's willing to take a stance on that and reduce the size and scope of government in that respect, because earmarks could lead to so much corruption. I mean, look at the Republicans in jail right now because of earmarks. If he's willing and honestly saying that he's going to solve that problem, then I'm okay.
Well, how do you feel about people like Tom Loeffler, who's McCain's co-chair, who took somewhere around $10 million in his firm from Saudi Arabia, a country that teaches in its schools that Christians are the enemies of Muslims.
I mean, to tell you the truth, I haven't looked in that issue, but he's co-chair. I'd have to look at that before I made any kind of statement about what he should do. I'd be happy to. Maybe I can respond on your blog about that.
Okay, that would be good. I'm hereby inviting you to respond on my blog.
I'll look into it.
Amanda Carpenter, guest blogger. Yeah, because Peter Madigan also lobbies on behalf of the King of Dubai.
Yeah, I'd have to look at it, like I said, but, I'm not working for McCain.
I know you have reservations about them, and that's why you're refreshing to talk to.
I do think his record on these issues and being limited government in the ways that most Republicans aren't, it gives me more leeway to trust him and to sew up these problems.
So that's the thing that makes you comfortable about him.
Yeah, I mean, earmarks are huge. I mean, I covered the Hill for a long time. I know how this works. I mean, it's the iron triangle between the people that ask for the earmarks, the money that gets cycled to the politician, what the politician does. I mean, it's devastating.
Well, how do you feel about the fact that under the Democrats, when the Democrats controlled Congress, earmarks actually went down?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's this dynamic where Republicans are better as a minority in holding a Democratic majority accountable than they are in holding each other accountable.
So you think this happened because Republicans are better at fiscal management?
No, what I'm saying is it's shown that Republicans are better stopping things than they are in the majority. I mean, just looking at those 2 years, than being in the majority and stopping themselves from doing things. I mean, look at what happened in 1994. You had all these guys that campaigned on the Contract with America to do really good things. Mm-hmm. And then they got really concerned about having a permanent majority and caring more about power than principle. And I think that's where we got in trouble.
So, well, I don't know. I gotta say, it seems like that the Democrats, when they got in charge, actually did a better job of stopping the earmarks from going through and the sort of uncontrolled government spending than the Republicans did. You know, when the Republicans were in charge, they could have stopped it. They did everything they could to put as much money in their pockets as they possibly could.
Yeah, I have to say, in this respect, the Republicans worked better. And, I mean, look at things like welfare reform. I mean, they had to fight tooth and nail to get Clinton to sign that. They were ultimately successful. Things like that. So we'll have to see. But I am concerned because I do think the most damaging spending policies are usually pushed by the Democrats, the things that dramatically expand the size and scope of government. Those are things that they push. And when and if there is a Democratic Congress and president, there'll be nobody there to veto the really bad things. And
The Department of Homeland Security and Homeland Security spending was non-existent when George Bush came into office, and it is bigger than Hollywood. It is so full of corruption because they basically said anytime anybody wanted to look at it, no national security, you can't. So there were billions and billions of contracts that nobody oversaw that went out absolutely no bid. That was definitely the product of a Republican administration, a Republican Congress. How can you say this is one of the biggest boondoggles that's ever happened in American fiscal policy?
I mean, I'm not just, I don't want to completely dispatch, but I'm not saying things aren't got bad. Spending's out of control. It's what's cost Republicans, you know, the 2006 elections. I think absolutely. I want to stop. The answer isn't just for everybody to point the finger and say, oh, well, you did it worse. I mean, how do you stop this thing? Are the Democrats going to stop it? No, they have no interest in doing things like privatizing Social Security for them. I mean, that's a major thing that's for me. That's why I voted for Bush.
Americans are really upset at the concept that someone wants to privatize Social Security. But they're a little bit more worried about people having bridges in Iraq and not having safe bridges in the United States.
The biggest spending entitlement program we have domestically.
Pardon?
It is a huge concern. It's going to go bankrupt by the year 2042. And yeah, I can say it's not a big deal, but as a woman that's been working since I was age of 16, has had, you know, at least 25 jobs, I want to keep that money for myself. Why do I have to give up to this account that I already know is completely bankrupt?
So Social Security is not bankrupt.
Not yet.
It's not going to be bankrupt.
Okay, okay.
If they stop pulling money out of it for other purposes, it will be solvent for a very, very long time. There is no problem with Social
Security. Taking away from other people, taking more people's money.
There's no problem with Social Security. There is nothing wrong with the Social Security problem, except that a bunch of people wanted to privatize it and get their hands on that money, because it's one of the only successful problems.
I want to privatize it and get my hands on my own money.
You will be able to have your Social Security. There will be no problem.
I trust the government to give it back to me.
Indefinitely.
I will never get back what I put into it. It is inherently unfair. I think the program is un-American. And if you don't want to talk about that, then maybe we can talk about Medicare Prescription D and all the money that's going to, you know, Americans that are taking too many drugs. That's a much bigger problem. I'll bash Bush all day long for signing that one. You know, that was a product of Tom DeLay twisting arms in the dead of night and writing checks on the floor. That was a travesty.
Most Americans are really against Social Security being privatized. And that was one of the big battles that Bush lost, because people just don't like the idea of it. They're very much for
it. I think that was done.
It's a system that works, and most people believe that it works. And in fact, one of the things that people mistrust most about John McCain is that he wants to privatize and destroy the social safety net that people feel that they really need right now.
I mean, there's no reason. You can keep people grandfathered in, but all I'm saying is that there should be a voluntary opt-out for Americans that want to keep the money that they earn and don't want to hand it over to the government and possibly not ever see it again.
They're going to see it again. And the opt-out means that the poor and the disaffected and the people who can't afford to take care of themselves, that's the whole social safety net aspect of it. You don't let the rich people opt out. That's why we have it. And people...
Because I have to pay for these people.
You will.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm rich. I hope to be. I very much like to be a rich person. When I make that cap, I don't want to have more money taken away from me for other people. I would much rather keep it for my family. And I think it's your American right. You keep money, you get to earn it, and you don't have to pay for the social well-being for everybody else until they, you know, die at the age of 100.
No, we're a country that takes care of the poor. We're a country that makes people comfortable. That's a civilized society.
We're not living in some
barbaric Stone Age movie. And I mean, most Americans agree with that. This is a minority opinion, Amanda.
It doesn't matter if it's a minority. I mean, there's lots of times when I'm in the minority.
But you called it un-American. Right. No. Fundamentally, we as a country believe that this is the right thing to do. That is American.
There's lots of Americans that disagree with that.
It doesn't mean it's un-American. It means you have a separate opinion. That's what you're free to do based on the fact that we live in a free country. But it doesn't mean it's un-American.
Yes. I'm so free to have money taken away from me out of my paycheck. As a working American, I mean, if that's what freedom means today, we're in trouble.
But that's what freedom has meant since the New Deal. What are you talking about? This is not
the New Deal.
It's probably
the worst thing that was ever signed into law. If you look at the way that our entitlements have gone up since then, I mean, we want to talk about FDR, which I probably think is the worst president ever. We can, but
let's talk about Ron Paul and about Bob Barr, who are getting ready to be the new Nader of the Republican Party, huh?
But this is why, to make the transition a little bit more clear, this is probably why Ron Paul got so much traction. You know, he's the hardcore founding fathers guy, you're on your own, libertarian. I mean, there's people that message resonates with.
There are also people who think that we shouldn't be building bridges in Iraq when we're not building them over here. And Ron Paul's message of non-interventionalism was really resonant, and his message against the war.
That's part of it. And that's a conservative thing. I mean, there's lots of conservatives, you know, even Bob Novak. Oppose the war, you know, we'll see. And there's just as many who thinks that even if we went there for the wrong reasons, we have a moral obligation to see it out, just where I'm at. But, Ron Paul's interesting. I saw him a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
At a private book thing. Yeah.
What do you think of Ron Paul? Because he basically gets booed off the stage every time there was a debate.
Yeah, he did. Well, he got in trouble when he made that comment to Rudy Giuliani. I mean, that totally did him in. Which I don't remember the quote exactly right now, but I remember that's what totally did it in a minute. But, I saw him. He was promoting his new book, The Ron Paul Revolution, which actually doesn't have, like, the bumper sticker on the cover. It has, like, this very, like, Founding Fathers-esque feel, which I kind of thought was a mistake. But he seems well, still talking about the same things, gold standard and Federal Reserve. And we'll see. I think Bob Barr, I don't understand why he just doesn't run as a libertarian.
Bob Barr?
No, Ron Paul.
Okay, because I think Bob Barr is running as a libertarian, isn't he?
Yeah, no, you're right, yeah. And I meant instead of Bob Barr. Sorry, I'm jumping between things.
Well, Ron Paul's going to take his message to the Republican convention, right?
Yeah, yeah, he is going to go there, and I heard him talk about how he planned to have a presence in Minneapolis. The convention, nobody really knows what that means. Might be some Ron Paul protesters outside. Maybe they'll try to get in, overtake the stage. I'm hoping so. Maybe they'd be kind of a fun show. But it'd be nice if the McCain campaign would kind of just recognize what the guy did. I think that would probably make Ron Paul happy, but probably not going to happen.
Why not?
Huh? Because, I mean, why would McCain do it? McCain, he's on his own track. But I feel like somebody should recognize what Ron Paul was able to do. I mean, he raised the money bombs. I mean, that was crazy.
He's a really good, a really good fundraiser.
Yeah, totally. And most of it, he didn't even do. I'm pretty sure his campaign was just hijacked by people that liked his message. Because if you ask him how he did it, he'll say, I don't know.
It was weird because I was in Iowa and there were people in the freezing snow who were like standing by the road with Ron Paul signs and ripping them.
Did you ever see their Iowa headquarters?
Huh?
Did you ever walk by their Iowa headquarters?
I did, actually. I was
he was
right next door to the Huckabee headquarters.
Yeah, which
right?
is funny, too. They always had that big bus out there.
Yeah, it was great because I was there when some anti-war protesters were at the Huckabee headquarters. And the Ron Paul people, like, all came running down with signs trying to convince them that they should be supporting Ron Paul.
No, but what I thought was interesting, because if you walk by there, I mean, they literally had desks, like, made with cinder blocks and plywood.
Yeah, but there was no organization. Like, you would go to a Ron Paul event, and there was nobody, like, taking emails and making sure these people got into the system. There was no, like, campaign, organization. It was just a bunch of people going, let's put a blimp over New York, and we'll raise money to keep it up there.
Yeah, I tried to interview some of the people, I mean, staffers working out of the office, like, why do you like Ron Paul? And they're just like, I know, he's cool.
So if John McCain doesn't recognize Ron Paul at the convention, what is he going to do to bring these people into the fold? Because they certainly have a lot of energy and enthusiasm.
I don't see any motions that he's trying to bring them into the fold. I mean, like I said, he's just doing the moderate to independent track. He'll probably open up some more blogger calls to them. I don't know if you saw this, but on Thursday, McCain did a blogger call that he opened up to left-wing blogs. Like, there's an environmental blog, and some people are kind of mad because they asked him hard-hitting questions and didn't think that liberals should be invited to the calls. But I think it was good, and I expect he'll do more of that, and maybe there'll be a Ron Paul representative.
See, I like that. I think that that's great. I respect McCain for doing that. Hillary Clinton used to do the same thing. She would have bloggers on the call, and they didn't know who they were getting questions from. And one time, one of Obama's people was actually on the call and challenged something that Wolfson said, and I thought that was really great. And Obama won't do that. They're really strict on message control.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, I can understand keeping him on message, being worried about what people might ask, but, I mean, you're running for president. You can take some blogger questions,
I agree. I would go, woohoo, big ups for John McCain on that one.
Yeah.
But, he's got the problem. You say that he's going to be moderate and run to the center, but John McCain is a real extremist when it comes to...
I wish he was.
Well, foreign policy, I think that he's a right-wing dream. There was an article recently in The Nation about how, John McCain thinks of intervention, international intervention with war as, invading another country as, like, a great solution.
I don't think that's true. I mean, I've heard him talk about his war experience.
Mm-hmm.
And how, my brother just got done with the Marines a little while ago, got hurt, and he's had people die. And, I just kind of see this soldier mentality where if you've been through war, you don't want to go back. You want it to be done, and you want to make sure you never have to go back again. And that's what I see in John McCain.
But yet he's making jokes about bombing Iran.
Oh, he was talking to military veterans. It was a VWF hall. What do you think? I mean, the guy's not allowed to joke when he's, this is what he's scared of. He's not allowed to just have a lighthearted moment. I give him leeway in that. He wasn't seriously saying, I want to bomb Iran. He was making a joke on a Beach Boys song.
But he does talk about being willing to be over in Iraq for 100 years, if that's what it takes.
Oh, that was the same clip. I mean, I think that's been so, so refuted in the period of time. He doesn't want to be there for 100 years. He's talked about that we might have a military presence. He explained this on the call yesterday I was on. We might have a security arrangement similar to one that we do in Kuwait, and that makes sense. As long as our troops aren't being killed and they're not, in harm's way, as he puts it, I don't have a problem with that.
But how long do we have to stay over there fighting a war to make sure that troops aren't being killed? This isn't Kuwait.
I mean, what are you going to do? What do we do? Do we really just leave the Iraqi people to their own devices?
I don't think they want us over there.
I think they do.
I think the statistics pretty much back up the fact that they have absolutely no interest overwhelmingly than having us in their country.
You don't think it's going to descend into genocide and a lot of death and killing when we leave?
I think there are tremendous problems. I think it's really complex. But ultimately, I think we need to respect the will of a sovereign country as to whether we're going to be there or not.
I don't know. I think we got to stabilize it. I mean, that's like the old military rule. You stabilize it, then you can go. I think that's perfectly reasonable. I don't want to see these Iraqis that vote in election be slaughtered.
But what about going into all these other countries where there is unrest? I mean, if that's what John McCain's answer is to...
I don't think John McCain's a nation builder.
Really?
No.
You don't think he's the neocon, let's go over and spread democracy to all these countries?
No.
I don't know.
I don't know. If he gets elected, we'll see.
I guess he will. So let's switch gears. Let's talk about gay marriage.
Okay.
Do you think this is going to be a big issue now that California has said that based on California law, they can't discriminate between rights of people with civil mm-hmm. unions and rights of people who are married?
I mean, big issue how? I think John McCain will probably use it to talk about the judges he'd appoint. I mean, basically you have the situation where the gay marriage ban was imposed by 60% vote ballot initiative. 4 million people wanted it, and 4 judges turned it over. That's going to be how they talk about activist judges and why you should vote for McCain, who will find people that will be more in the line of Alito and Roberts.
But in California, 6 of the 7 justices were Republican appointees.
Wait, did I lose you?
Huh? Did I lose you?
Okay. I can still hear.
In California, 6 of the 7 judges were Republican appointees.
Yeah, and it's actually a moderate Republican that wrote the ruling opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's a bad judge. I don't know. We'll have to look into it. But that's how it's going to be talked about on the campaign trail. It's going to be 4 activist judges overturning the rule of 61% of the people. But Schwarzenegger said that he wouldn't push for a marriage amendment. So it might be dead, and they'll just be in the column of Massachusetts are the only 2 states that allow gay marriage.
They were not activist judges. They were very much reflecting what the legal history of California was. They were looking back at the laws that were on the books in the state of California and the California Constitution, and they were not adjudicating outside of those laws. They were enforcing the laws that were on the books.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know California law. I'm just telling you how it's going to play.
Well, that's the thing, is that people are calling this judicial activism without actually looking at what happened. It wasn't judicial.
Well, it got called this week. I don't even think there's been, like, a huge outcry except for, like, you know, people like the Family Research Council right now. So we'll see. We're going to have to see how it plays. We're going to see how Ellen DeGeneres' wedding goes.
I guess so. Well, is there anything else happening today that you thought was worth talking about?
Today? No, I think we covered everything. What's going to happen this weekend? Are the candidates doing anything excessively pandering?
Yes, I'm sure they've. I'm sure they all are. They're running for office.
Yeah, true.
Well, I'm personally hoping that Hillary does actually leave the race soon.
Oh, yeah.
So that we can get down to McCain versus Obama. And
yeah, I mean, there's some Democrats that I talked to that say they want her to stay in so that all the attention can be on Democrats until the last minute. Mm-hmm. You think is that a good idea?
I there's another part of me that would like, I mean, from a practical
You're
standpoint,
just like
you know, as you mentioned, the voter registration in all these states has just skyrocketed because there are mm-hmm. people on the ground doing Democratic voter registration. And the Republicans don't really have anything to counter that. That's going to benefit Democrats in every state. Oh, that's what I want to ask you about. How do you feel about the congressional races this week?
You're talking about Mississippi?
I'm talking about Mississippi.
Yeah, it's bad news, huh?
Well, I guess if you're sitting on your side.
Yeah. I mean, it is worth noting that that guy ran as a social conservative in the Deep South. He was pro-gun, pro-life. You know, I hope he might be in the category of, like, a Heath Shuler,
mm-hmm.
Who can do good things on immigration, things like FISA. So we'll see. That's the best I can hope for right now. And it's funny. It's funny because there's all this talk right now about, you know, Tom Cole, who's in charge of raising money
right.
for the congressional races.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're mad at him, and he's essentially telling them, you know, you're on your own. We can't help you. Look at these races. We spent a bunch of money, and it didn't help. And now they're talking about putting in Jim Davis.
Tom Davis, yes, I did hear.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. Yeah, Tom Davis. Yeah, I mean, how does that make sense?
It's a, well, it's an interesting choice because Davis isn't running for re-election. He's actually my congressman where I live. And, yeah, since he's not running for re-election and doesn't have that to think about, he can...
Yeah, I mean, he's a nice guy. I like him. I've talked to him, but... In terms of, like, bringing the Republican Party back to, like, conservative values, not the right guy.
Well, I would have to say that the person that you put in that job is not necessarily the person. If you're talking about sheer numbers and just winning races, putting the guy in there that is you know, going to bring the party back to conservative values, that may not be the...
Yeah, but I tell you what, conservatives, Republicans, I mean, they are mad about spending. They're just like, keep the guys out, let it break. We'll try again. We'll try again later.
Well, I think that's why Bob Barr and Ron Paul are getting so much traction right now.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, Bob Barr, he's got to get out there a little bit more. I mean, he should mix it up. I mean, it's a time. I mean,
we'll have him on with you on Far Dog Lake.
Yeah, we should. That'd be fun.
I actually would love that. We could have you host a chat with Bob Barr on Far Dog Lake. I actually think that's a really good idea. I think we should make that happen.
We'll check it out.
Well, thanks so much, Amanda. It was really fun talking to you today.
Yeah, it was real fun with you. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Okay, bye.